here now is Dan Burrish talking more about this incredible Lotus model about possible mechanism for panspermia.
It relates as a communication carrier from the other side, if you will, the void, if you will, to present-day living organisms. And originally, I had thought that we would be dealing with something left as a biomarker in the rock, and I was going to look for differences depending upon the age. Hence, we had to make up our mind where we were going to start, because this is the older section, and it goes down to some 20 million years before present, down by Lava Butte, and everything from here on. But we're up in a slightly above a 550 million year old area. But what we did is originally we thought that it was going to be a biomarker, and we would find a separate biomarker in present-day cells and attempt to match those biomarkers to what could have been a theoretical panspermia virus. What we found is an actual emission of particles from a somewhere. When we found the emission of particles from a somewhere, I said, okay, we'll hold on my mundane theory here for a second. We're going to start looking at this super jazzed up data that we're getting. And that's where we've been working ever since. The Ganesh particle basically acts as a communication. The from somewhere, meaning the void that gets accessed under the right energy concentration, the right light, we name the Shiva. It's just as an operating name. The Ganesh particle just as an operating name, meaning mover of obstacles. And then finally began to look at what the Ganesh particles did to living cells, and they in fact imparted certain substances to the living cells. And we named those substances which were imparted and retained by the living cells as the Vishnu component. So we had our triumvirate model, if you will, but it was something, I think you can tell what I just said, totally different than what we first imagined.
And if I understand it all, you're saying that it is as if...
Do you know more than me?
The force behind everything has the ability to send out something like a, we'll call it for our terms, a radio or a television signal that is programmed with information. It's going to fill the silicon oxides up with a program that can produce life.
Pretty accurate. Pretty accurate. Basically, the silicon dioxide acts as an antenna, which, when enough particles are oriented in the correct fashion, and that, you know, hence the right shape of crystal, it acts as an antenna, which then opens a void. The particles are emitted, and yes, in fact, they can motivate the production of life from pre-existing proteins. Now, I do not know whether or not they can motivate the production of life on their own. So we do not have first life here. At least we do not have data to support first life. But we have data to support production of life from protonaceous material.
And Dan, what the implication is that you have found what may be the programming mechanism for life in this universe, but it has to be able to build with proteins what would have made the proteins.
Well, originally these protein components could have been assembled in theory by the Ganesh particle or by actions from the Ganesh particles from amino acids which could have rained here as part of a celestial rain. So in other words, delivered by comets. So in fact the portion of the panspermia theory regarding the production of life on Earth from the deposition of amino acids could in fact have a play in with this model.
But isn't the bigger implication that if there's a frequency carrier of life programming that can go into all silica oxides, that it should be anywhere there's silica oxides in the universe?
Yes, ma'am.